This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
All right, welcome into hour number one of the G-Bag Nation. No Gavin Dawson today. He'll be back on Monday, but you hear Chris Arnold riding shotgun.
Got you down.
Former Rangers lefty Mike Bacsik is across the radio way from me. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup. I'm Jeff Cavanaugh. Welcome to the G-Bag Nation, which we start with, hey, the Rangers lost and Elvis hit a home run, so that was cool. So anyway, DeMarcus Lawrence, our daily DeMarcus Lawrence tracking update. We'll get into the Rangers in just a second. Are we going Baby Daddy Shark? Baby Shark Daddy for Elvis? He's Baby Shark
Baby
Daddy.
Baby Shark Daddy.
Baby Shark Daddy, Elvis.
He's doing it for his son, right?
Hit the bombski. Well, and for me. It's for me and his son.
That's right. You are his baby daddy.
No, he's... Well,
your baby daddy.
It doesn't matter. That's semantics.
Does she know?
That's semantics. We have the compensation for Robert Quinn, the Miami defensive end who's going to be a Cowboy this year. It is a sixth-round pick next year, and the Cowboys are going to pay him $8 million for 1 year of work, which I think is a steal. I think it's a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris, I don't know, based on what you said in Crosstalk, I'm wondering, do you think it's not a great deal or do you think it's not a steal?
I do not think it's a steal. I did some work on this because I was like, why is this guy available for that price and nobody else is going after him? Why did they pay him $1 million so they didn't have to just straight up cut him so that they could try to trade him? Why didn't Miami put any money in on it the way they did for Tennessee when they traded Tannehill up there? Why did the Cowboys able to talk him out of $12 million and get him down to $8 million? I'm like, wait a minute, what's the deal on all this stuff? What I have heard from media guys down in Miami that I know and from agents and former agents that I know, you have to wonder about not only his injury history, and remember, he hadn't had double-digit sacks since 2014. He had a three-year run where he was awesome. So the reputation is incredible, but the question is, how much does he want it? And there are those who think that maybe the environment in Miami, he didn't care. Maybe he will care playing for the Cowboys. I hope that's the case. But as Stephen Jones says, and I'm taking Stephen for his word, he's a rotational player. If he plays up to his skill set and what he did in 2013, yeah, he's awesome. But he hadn't done that in 5 years.
See, and I think it's a steal if he does what he did last year.
Which is 6.5 sacks?
Yeah. I think that's a steal for a future sixth-round pick. Oh, my God, it's a steal.
The Cowboys, a lot of people think that it's a steal because they didn't have to pay a bunch of money, which I think is great. But I think Stephen Jones actually has the value correct. I don't think he's a steal because, oh, he's better than what you're paying him, or, oh, he's better than just that sixth-round pick. I think he's exactly what he is, exactly what they paid for.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you could pay a future sixth-round pick for 6.5 sacks, you would do it 4 times in a row. You'd do it every single year.
Mm-hmm.
It's an awesome trade. Mm-hmm. It's a great trade. And I think
I would take that over a draft pick who's a defensive end because, as you know, you and Dane and Broadus say it all the time, it takes 2 or 3 years for those guys to develop and look at Taco.
Well, yeah, like last year, Dorrance Armstrong in the fourth round was a hit. We've already seen because he was a productive backup
player,
right? Mm-hmm.
He was a
productive backup. Whereas Robert Quinn is going to be a starter and is probably going to get you 6 to 8 sacks. He's going to make $8 million to do it, which is a pretty good price tag for 6 to 8 sacks. But I also think that's the greatest motivator in sports: is hey, when this season's over, no one owes you any money anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to go earn some?
Well, I hope so.
Come out here and earn some. And I wanted to take that into, or I guess Mike, we could start there. What do you think about even hearing what Chris is hearing about Robert Quinn? Like, is that alarming, or do you go, oh, okay, it's
no,
a sixth-round pick?
That's why it's only a sixth-round pick.
Right.
If he was actually motivated, if he was actually somewhat near his prime, then you wouldn't be getting him for that.
Right.
You would be getting, I mean, I know Antonio Brown makes a lot more money, but if he was a defensive end that was considered good, you'd probably have to trade a third or fourth-round pick and maybe even add a sixth-round pick to get it done. You're trading a pick that's very releasable. Sixth-round picks, probably 50% of them get released in training camp, don't even make the team. So you're trading a releasable pick to get him at $8 million. And hopefully there's motivation in there. Hopefully there's something left in the tank where he has 2 or 3 years left in his career. I don't think the Cowboys care to keep him for those 2 to 3 years. They need him for this year. And hopefully he has enough, like you're saying, that he's motivated to be like, hey, I want to have a good year. And then I want to go out in the marketplace and get a deal that's like a 3 or 4 year deal with 2 of those years guaranteed. And then finish off my career and be done with football.
Now, don't let me totally poo-poo this idea and say that, oh, he's going to suck. I'm saying there's no indication that he should be better, but there is a chance that he could. Remember, when he was with the Rams, the reason they let him go or he winds up in Miami is because Wade Phillips came along.
And
they actually
3-4.
They were 3-4.
And that's what Miami just did.
Exactly. And that's what Miami just did. But remember when the Dallas Cowboys let go of DeMarcus Ware? DeMarcus Ware was like, D. Ware's like, oh, man, he's got this shoulder injury. We can't pay him his $12 million a year. We're just going to let him check the marketplace, and hopefully nobody's going to offer him that kind of money. Denver did. And guess what? He went. He went to the Super Bowl. He was very productive. He was back to basically the D. Ware or a little bit less than everybody expected and helped Von Miller. And they won the Super Bowl. So I'm not saying that the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl. I'm saying there is a chance that in this environment – he might turn it on like D. Ware did in Denver.
Yeah, I think at 28 years old.
I'm saying for where it is right now, though, I don't think it's a steal until he does it.
I think as a 28-year-old defensive end, your prime is not over unless you make it over.
Right.
Which goes to your point, which is like, hey, where's your production been the last few years? But I think that's why Dallas was his preferred destination. Because Rod Marinelli can take... I don't want to use a negative word. You don't want to say bums. Rod Marinelli can take guys who weren't going to make another team and make them into NFL caliber players. So what can he do with a guy that has that ability? I think that's what Robert Quinn wanted, was I want to go somewhere where, A, I'm going to play. I'm going to play right defensive end in a 4-3. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get to rush the passer. If Tank's here, I don't see any double teams.
Ding, 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 ding.
And then I go get paid, which is what the Cowboys want too. It'll be great.
Like D. Ware in Denver.
Okay, now the next step, and this is the next thing I want to get to, is when Stephen Jones was talking about Robert Quinn, and what does it mean for DeMarcus Lawrence? Nothing. They say they still want to sign him. They're motivated to sign him. But he said in there that we'll have DeMarcus Lawrence on the left, Robert Quinn, and Randy Gregory on the right. Does just that one sentence, Mike, make you any more optimistic about their expectation of having Gregory play this year?
Maybe. I just don't know, because they've said they have no clue what the commissioner is going to do. They had no clue on Ezekiel Elliott. I mean,
right.
And so why would they have a clue on Randy Gregory? I mean, it just seems like there's never any clue. And the Cowboys, right or wrong, maybe they do worse things than all the other NFL football players. But ever since Jerry wanted to fire the commissioner, they get penalized a lot more. Maybe it's even before, because obviously they got penalized with the Washington Redskins when there was no salary cap. And then they did some things where then, you know, the commissioner's like, ah, screw you and the Redskins. You guys get, you know, docked here. But the Cowboys are treated worse in the commissioner's office. And I do think part of it is because Jerry Jones doesn't want Roger Goodell to be the commissioner anymore. And so I don't know. I don't know how he would know. I don't know how Stephen Jones would know. If I was the Cowboys, and you've said this before, Jeff, you prepare that Randy Gregory is done with the NFL. He will never play another second in the NFL. If you get him back, great. You can try to help get him back. But I don't think you can build your 2019 roster saying Randy Gregory is part of our defensive end collection.
Yeah, totally agreed. And now the last part of that defensive end, those pieces – DeMarcus Lawrence, your current daily prediction for how it ends. I know you said it in crosstalk, but just quickly, because everybody doesn't listen to every segment.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that we're going to get – the way that I'm getting to that he's going to get released in June is this. I think the Cowboys are probably calling around and seeing his market, and they're asking for a lot, and they're not getting a lot in return back. So they're having trouble pulling a trigger on trading him anytime soon, and up to the draft, I bet the offers don't change too much. Then we're going to get after the draft. The Cowboys are still going to want a lot in the future. I don't know if teams are going to want to give a lot for the future. And they're going to believe we can still work out something with DeMarcus Lawrence because we have time. We have the whole month of May to work something out. And they're going to get to June, and I don't think the agent and DeMarcus are going to budge on their number. And then I think the Cowboys are going to be like, let's call up these teams that had some interest that were offering us crap, and let's see if we can get something just a little bit better than what they were offering. They're not going to get a better offer, and they're going to say, we cannot give this guy the franchise tag at 20-point-something million dollars for him to have a bum shoulder and most likely sit out the season on us and then give him $20 million. We're going to have to release him. And so, unfortunately, I think that's the way it's going to play out. And
That is the worst ending for – it's really the worst ending for both parties.
I just think that, unfortunately, we're going to get to June, and that is my prediction, and I hope I'm wrong.
And you know what? He's right about that, and that's why I'm thinking, because both sides are dug in, and it's a game of blink at this point, that it might have to – if this doesn't get done around the draft, the week before, the week after, and let me explain why I say this. Gavin's the one that said, can they rescind the franchise tag? He said this last week, and they can. KT looked it up to find out, has it ever been done before?
Yeah,
it
Josh
happened,
Norman.
It happened with Josh Norman. I looked up all that information about Josh Norman, who did it, the Gettleman who's up there, the Giants, is the one that did it in Carolina. And Josh Norman was so upset that they did this the week before the draft. He was so upset, he fired his agent. They got the money that they wanted, $75 million over 5 years from the Redskins. There was nine teams chasing after him, but he wanted to stay in Carolina.
And the GM said no.
He went even behind the agent's back and said, I'll sign it. He says, too late. Too late. So I'm looking at around the draft, because if you're playing a game of blink, like Mike just said, Mike just forecast what could happen. Somebody doesn't want it to go that far, and it's going to be either the agent or it's going to be Jerry.
My leader in the clubhouse is long-term deal gets done.
That's my leader in the clubhouse. Because Jerry wants to win now. That's why he didn't give Garrett an extension. That's why they signed Robert Quinn. His whole thing is let's get this thing done. He watched the Rams go to the Super Bowl, and when they went to L.A., they didn't have nothing. And that was how quickly they turned their thing around. He wants it done now.
My number two is that he gets traded, and my number three is that the tag gets rescinded. And I totally get it, because, Mike, I think you have a great point.
I hope I'm wrong.
But I think if you're getting toward the draft and you're not feeling good about it, you don't love what you have to do, but what you have to do is be like, hey, what's the best offer we can get? Because whatever it is, if it's a third round pick or better, it's better than what we're going to get when he walks.
And Choppy made an excellent point about the week after the draft, because there are guys who didn't get the player that they wanted in the draft. I'm talking about teams. They will make a deal because they're like itching to either move forward on
the
team.
Oh, they might do it during the draft.
Exactly. Yeah. Anything. Yeah. To me, the week before the draft, the draft, and the week after, that's the window of the blink game.
I hope it's during, because otherwise we'll have less people listening to the first round. Like, hey, you got to be locked in. Tank might get traded. We might be picking in this round. In the tournament last night, Choppy's Tennessee Volunteers screwed it up at the end, kind of, although he's telling me it wasn't a foul when Tennessee fouled a three-point shooter while they were up two with 1 second left. But I believe Texas Tech is the team that we all now have to cheer for. Is that now the local team? Because they're in the Big 12 and they're
Houston
in it.
Houston is playing tonight.
Houston, yeah. Isn't there? About, there's some Big 12 loyalty around here, though, right?
Away. Yeah, I mean, Houston's obviously I've been closer. Cheering hard for Texas Tech, and they have a kid that might go in the top five of the draft. He might be a future Dallas Maverick.
Oh, yeah, I was watching to see him play, but I was watching the first half.
Yeah, he wasn't good.
I couldn't figure out who the good player was. Because none of them were good.
I will say this. They
played great defense.
Last week when we were talking about Izzo, the coach for Michigan State, and he was just berating that number 11, the freshman. But he wouldn't take him out of the game. It was the weirdest thing. He's like, you're a piece of trash. You don't deal with this. Go back in the game. But I thought that what Coach Beard did for Texas Tech is he kept trying to yank. He yanked Culliver out of the game two or three different times. Didn't scream at him. Didn't get in his face. He's just like, no, if you're going to play like this, you're just not going to play. And I'll put you back in to see if you can get back to the best player in the Big 12 that you were. And he didn't. But then in the second half, he did. In the second half, he dominated the game. And Texas Tech dominated the game. So it was, I bet a lot of people turned it off because it wasn't an entertaining game in the first half. But Texas Tech just put it on them in the second half. And so now they take on Gonzaga to go to the Final Four. That's back-to-back years. They've been to the Elite Eight, so that's huge for Texas Tech. And I know Coach Beard is getting recruited pretty hard. I was wondering this, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
We're hearing rumors now of UCLA really wanting Coach Beard because what he's done with kind of a team that's not supposed
that's
to be
right.
great.
Do they have more balls coming?
Well, probably not.
Oh.
But Reggie Miller was, I mean, he was UCLA. kissing butt on Coach Beard so much, and I was thinking – is he kissing butt because he's there at these games going, hey, we can get it done at UCLA? Because I think he was kind of recruiting Coach Beard to UCLA.
It was weird. What's the – this is going to be really weird sounding for me. What's the Tech kid's name, the good one?
Oh, Culver, Jarrett Culver.
Yeah, right. So when the game was going on and I saw his name, I knew his name. But I thought anybody who watches college basketball, because you've been talking about him all year, is maybe a top five pick. And yeah. Reggie Miller's like, you may not know this guy's name, but he's a good one. And I was like, well, college basketball fans do, because he's being talked about as a top five pick.
Yeah, I guess because Texas Tech, right? I mean, they're not a national brand. So he's at a school that people don't think about too much as producing big time picks. Like the last big time pick I can remember is Tony Battee from South Oak Cliff /
Texas Tech. I remember him.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.